This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have as our guest today Representative William Calmer, Democrat from Mississippi. Mr. Calmer is Dean of the Mississippi Congressional Delegation and is Vice Chairman of the powerful House Rules Committee. Mr. Calmer, it's always good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Dick. Glad to be back with you. What you got on your mind today?
Well, Mr. Calmer, I'd like to talk about some of the hearings that the Rules Committee has been conducting recently into the so-called school guidelines issued by the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. I understand that your committee has been questioning Commissioner of Education Harold Howe II and some other officials on these so-called guidelines.
Yes, Dick, that's true. These guidelines have given the school people of this country considerable trouble because they never know what to expect next. The department will issue what it calls guidelines, and then swapping horses in the middle of the stream after the local school board attempts to comply with these guidelines, they'll change the guidelines, and in other words, change the rules in the middle of the game. Mr. Howe, of course, the Commissioner of Education, is the prime mover in this thing, although he is, of course, and of necessity, backed up by the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, and finally, of course, by the President of the United States himself. Now, we have all been chafing under these guidelines as our people advise us about what's going on, and we attempt to take it up with the department, try to get the things clarified, try to get some relief. But it's always a stalling proposition, and we rarely ever get them to go along with even what they promised to do in the beginning.
I'd like to ask you this, Mr. Calmer. Is it your impression, based on what you've observed in the past year or so, that these so-called guidelines issued by the Health, Education, and Welfare Department go beyond the intent of Congress in passing any of the civil rights bills?
Unquestionably, that's true. As a matter of fact, and this not only applies to the particular matter of federal aid to the schools, but it applies to practically every law that the Congress passes. These overzealous administrators undertake to write guidelines or to interpret the law in such a way that it's difficult for the Congress that passed the law to recognize it in its original form when they get through with this maneuvering around and interpretation of what the law provides. As a matter of fact, the Rules Committee, of course, as you know, is not a legislative committee. It is not responsible, nor does it have authority to legislate. It's a clearinghouse for the major legislation of the Congress. But this thing became so flagrant that my committee just undertook to look into this thing and try to get it straightened out. And to that end, considered a number of resolutions that had been introduced by various members of Congress. It was obvious to us that the Judiciary Committee, for instance, hadn't done anything about it. The Education Committee hadn't done anything about it, and likely wouldn't do anything about it. So we delved into it ourselves, using these various resolutions that had been introduced. as a vehicle for the exploration and expose of what was going on. And to that end, while we ordinarily in the Rules Committee only hear members of Congress, we do have a power and authority to bring in government officials. So we had Mr. Howe, this very overzealous integrationist, to come before us and to explain, if he could, just what was being done. Now, may I, just to finish that up, the administration, of course, is opposed to any investigation of this matter. And therefore, pressure was brought to bear on certain members of my committee not to report out one of these resolutions. It became obvious that we didn't have the votes in this committee to report out the resolution. So we are now in process of referring it to the Judiciary Committee, who objected, incidentally, to our investigation, and who said that they had the authority, which they have. In fact, it's their duty to do it, and that they would investigate it. Incidentally, I happened to remark, being opposed to that move, if you don't mind my saying this, that in the hearings, that to turn it over to Congressman Sellers' committee to study and to get the right answers was like putting the cat in the position of watching the canary while the owners were away. But at any rate, that's about as far as our committee has been able to go.
Right. The Commissioner of Education, Harold Howe II, has been quoted as having said, and I'm quoting Harold Howe now, "If I have my way, schools will be built for the primary purpose of economic and social integration." Also, Mr. Howe told a House Education and Labor Committee hearing not too long ago that he objected to the way that some of our textbooks were, in his opinion, slanted. He said that they were too much oriented toward a middle-class society, that not enough attention was being paid to members of minority groups in some of our school textbooks. David Lawrence, in a recent syndicated column, has said that the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare has taken the first steps which can lead to complete control in Washington of the entire educational system of states, cities, and counties throughout the country. Now, do you believe that this is what the HEW people have in mind, that they'd like to have control over the nation's school systems?
There isn't any question in my mind, but that's exactly what is in the mind of these pseudo-liberal planners, these people who have worked themselves into these key positions. And, Dick, I just want to say this. The trouble lies in the fact that the people at home, and when I say at home, I'm talking about in the various communities throughout these United States, have grown into the habit of looking for some federal assistance from the federal government. And the thing that they don't ever seem to realize, as I pointed out repeatedly over the last 20 years, that the federal control is going to follow that federal dollar. That's why I have opposed vigorously all of this aid to our education, because what they want to do is to get control of our public schools, even as Hitler did in Germany, even as they're doing in Russia. If they can capture the minds of the youth, then they can put their schemes for remaking America along the lines of the old world as they want it.
At the outset, the so-called school guidelines were applied primarily to the South on the matter of the integration and racial balance among students and faculty members.
And still are.
But however, they're looking more and more now at the North and using some sort of pressure to promote, for example, the busing of pupils, the rearrangement of school districts to get what they consider to be a better balance. Do you believe that this is going to produce some adverse reaction from some people up North who, up until now, haven't been too concerned about these trends?
It already has produced that. We saw the spectacle yesterday, something unusual, for a member of Congress from New York taking considerable time on the floor in the consideration of this education bill, pointing out the very thing that you're talking about. They're chafing under it. As a matter of fact, this so-called racial thing, civil rights or whatever you want to call it, is no longer confined to the South. The open housing and so on had brought it all out into the open, and the people in the North are being affected by it just as much as the people in the South, and we're getting a change in the atmosphere here.
Do you see the recent trends as being encouraging or discouraging?
Oh, I think it's most encouraging. And if I read the signs correctly, if we can get 25 to 50 of these liberal members of Congress who have been rubber stamping the administration's program left at home, and replaced by, as they would be, of course, by more conservative members, you're going to see an entirely different picture in this Congress next year.
Mr. Comer, time's gone by very quickly. Thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Dick.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Representative William Comer, Democrat from Mississippi, Dean of that state's congressional delegation, and Vice Chairman of the powerful House Rules Committee. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedoms.